Good evening, race fans, punters, and everyone else who's accidentally clicked onto this stream link. This is In the Know, brought to you by The Racing Post. My name is Ross Briley, and we are on the evening post day one of Royal Ascot 2026 and pre day two. And day one was, certainly entertaining, wasn't it? It was a proper Royal Ascot day. They went lickety split in every single race. The ground is rattling fast, and pretty much the right sort of horses, the right sort of trainers, jockeys, pedigrees, you name it, they all came home in front. But we're going to have a little bit of a moan about some hard luck stories, that's for sure. But quite frankly, I don't think we did too badly in the grand scheme of things in here, and I don't think you did too badly at home either. So it's not as if any of the results were completely baffling, even the opener, but we'll talk about that in a second. Like I said, we have Bo Echo beating Gustard once again, albeit a little bit tighter than it might well have seemed a furlong and a half from home. The Queen Anne, it's either a red hot favourite or a massive shock that wins that race. It was the latter this time around. And of course, the Ballydoyle boys won the Coventry. Look, like I said, even when things seem like they're fairly difficult to predict, you look at them and you think, yeah, there we go. Ryan Moore picked the wrong one again as well. Wayne Lorden, what a season he's having on these so-called second strings. Anyway, we've got more fun and games tomorrow where Ombudsman and Darius face off once again. There was a half of Yorkshire between them last time they saw each other last year. We've got more two-year-olds in the Queen Mary as well, and much more besides, including a fascinating favourite in the Queen's Vase. Same panel as last night, starting off with the man to my left, Mr. Paul Keeley.
What do you mean we did well? We did rubbish. I hate it. Horrible. Royal Ascot's rubbish, isn't it? Started off with getting back to 40 to 1 shot and get chinned by the. You beat every single horse that's fancied and get beat by a 50 to 1 shot.
Yeah, but.
Nice Anthony Post, but gets chinned, and that's how the day started. Later on, I've seen a horse win that I was going to tip, but changed my mind because I missed the price.
Yeah.
Rolls back to horse that's finished third at 8-1 and got beat by the horse that beat it last time that won at 25-1.
Yeah.
I had a penny on it. What a shocking day.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, what I was going to say to you is, actually, I don't know what I was going to say to you, but yeah, fair enough. Look, you would take this day left, right and centre come Thursday or something when everything you did finish at the back of the telly. This isn't the day one of Ascot. It's not that bad. You're not far away.
No, it means you're only a fifth of the way through it. Yeah. But you love to get a winner on the first day, don't you?
Look, you do, but
then the pressure's off.
I'm coming on the optimistic side of it, whereas in if you are...
Yeah, but I'm much older than you, so I'm therefore automatic miserable shit.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Okay. I was going for more the... if a striker gets in the right positions, even if he misses a few, he'll hit the target eventually. You're getting in the right positions. Mm. And if More Thunder had switched to the near side rather than the far side, we'd have all been screaming him home. We'd have all been screaming him home.
He's just got no tactical pace, has he?
No.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's quite as easy as that, is it? Because, could he switch him? Because it's where is he going to go?
He's drawing nine, though.
Well, yeah, true, but... It's just the way he travels.
I know.
He's just got to make a decision and then go that way, isn't he? That's the thing.
But look, in Group 1s, narrow margins, these things make
absolutely,
a difference,
absolutely,
don't
they? So.
Absolutely.
Fair play to the winner. Ed Walker's in fantastic form, isn't he?
He is.
Was in brilliant form in April. A little bit of a downward spell in May, but then right back up and, 25, 26% in April and June.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He's having a cracking time of it. Oh. Beaten by a horse and trainer winner of a horse that I've backed literally every single time he's run since Haydock last year. And obviously apart from today, where he's on the
second. Yeah, oh God, I've backed him loads of times, but I never had him down as a Group 1 horse over a mile and fast ground.
And when they went a little mad pace in front.
Yeah, exactly. But there
look,
you go.
More Thunder might have been frustrating and unlucky, but lightning doesn't strike twice, does it, Robbie Wilders?
No.
The King Charles III stakes.
Yeah, that was horrible, wasn't it?
Oh, it was painful, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought we had that one in the bag, man.
Yeah.
With Rivka. Slightly unlucky loser, I'd say.
What do you think she... Because, it's almost identical to More Thunder. They're both looking for a room. They both switch. They both come down the centre of the track.
Copy, essentially.
And they get done by a horse coming down this near side. I know people might think, oh, you're being daft about saying, oh, it wouldn't have changed the result of this switch. But I do think, in these races... Those split-second decisions make the difference.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was about to say split-second decisions.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of... The cogs are turning, and you don't have long to make those calls. So I'm not really going to sit here and have a pop at Tom Marcondon.
No.
Mikel Barzalona. It's just it's just Ascot for you, the straight track at Ascot.
Yeah.
You take your medicine.
You do. It's not a it's their observations in terms
of course. Yeah.
Because again, if I was in that position, I mean, I'd probably fall off.
Have you ever ridden a horse, Ross?
Not at that speed. I've ridden.
But you have ridden one.
Yeah, I have.
I've never sat on one either.
I have ridden one and fallen off.
Well, right, okay, yeah.
How fast were you going?
I was standing still.
Oh, it was a rocking horse.
I was a kid and I was absolutely cacking myself. So I was holding the reins really hard and he decided he wanted some grass and that was it. Yeah. I went straight over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather watch him than actually touch him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll give him a good stroke or a good cuddle.
I don't even know if I want to do that.
Yeah?
I want to keep arm's length, yeah.
Fair enough. What about the rest of the day? I mean, look, I told you Kisley I would win the Fred Winter.
Yeah, what a shout from you yesterday. I'm a bit annoyed because we're talking about a Killarney form, and if we'd have just done a tri-cast on those three from that Killarney race, I don't know what it paid, but
I can tell you
right now, the trifecta paid 11,200 quid, mate.
And we said last night, didn't we?
We said that was...
Well, we said that last year, De Bromhead beat O'Brien. Yeah. This year, O'Brien beat De Bromhead. So
I'm stunned this return that us. Yeah. Infuriating.
But again, yeah, look, the Wolverton again, you wanted group form, you wanted Ascot form, you wanted, you know, a middle to high draw, Map of Stars bolts up, Dakari Bay, you could have found him. We've all been, he's always been on it. They weren't unbelievable results.
Oh, yeah, Dakari Bay was well final, wasn't it? That was the one I slung out in favour of Aeronautic, who did at least get into the frame. That was good, night. The highlight of the day was without a doubt Bo Echo, wasn't it? And Gustav, that was a proper race, wasn't it?
It really was. Mm. And again, even those split second decisions, because there's a barging match early on, and I thought it was an incredibly mature ride by Billy Loughnan to not get ruffled up by
that. Yeah, and I thought he did the right thing to go to the outside then.
Agreed.
And he said it probably wasn't his best ride. I actually thought he did the right thing.
I did as well.
He said afterwards. But I mean, the look on his face when he didn't know, did he? And, no. And the look on his face, it's just fantastic. Golden moment, wasn't it? Like, you know. So yeah, I really enjoyed that without having an interest.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a bit like last year when Field of Gold won. I didn't even think that was a good ride. I think what happens on that round track, especially those 3-year-olds, is you turn into the home straight, and if you're travelling well, it's really hard not to just go. Mm. And it's such a long way home.
Yeah, and he's also got two Aidan O'Brien horses up against him. Puerto Rico sort of moved out to give just out the gap, so you're going up against a team. So I think he's won well. What I will say is, if they met Opera Ballo in the Sussex, I thought Opera Ballo was one of the eye catchers of the day in the Queen Anne. Went very quick into a headwind. Time was much faster than the St James's Palace. Obviously, front-running tactics at a strong pace is not really what you do at Ascot.
It's a different track, isn't it? The ground is always
fast. It is a different track, sure, yeah.
But, I mean, by the same token,
we said Sussex
he needs a bend to run around, and I think if he does that, he can hold on a bit for himself.
Yeah. Right?
To go as close as he did, going how he did, and the way he runs, yeah.
Carry on.
What about, I just think, again, it's the difference to a track. Again, the only thing I can compare it to, personally, is like if you're driving down a motorway and you're on your own. Mm. If I said to you, if you don't look at the speedometer and go a level pace, I think, and you've got nothing to measure yourself, you've got no other cars, you don't know how fast you're going, it's really difficult.
Hard. I can't even drive, mate, and it does sound odd, to be honest. It's hard enough. Well, I can compare it to cycling the bike, and I find that tricky enough to maintain.
Well, you're a London lad, aren't you? You don't need to drive.
I'm a London boy, yeah. That's just bike or walk, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're a city.
I love steps.
Do you? What's your favourite song?
Yeah, I like to get 10,000 steps at least every day.
Yeah, yeah.
You a stepper?
I am a walker, yeah, big walk, yeah, you've got to, yeah.
Walking's fun, it's clear as a head.
20,000 in yesterday.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, you're a golfer, you must get plenty.
Yeah.
Plenty during the week, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Impressive. How many steps have you done today? Let us know in the chat. Operabello in the Sussex says Tommy Daniels, great chance to that. Let's have a look. Billy's very professional, says Destiny Sounds. Bo Echo is the best horse, despite Billy admitting a really bad race. Again, do you think he just... I think he probably thought he was going to win easily, didn't he? And then suddenly...
Yeah, I thought he was going to win easily when he pulled out in the straight, and I thought he was going to go clear, but...
Just Stad is just
Stad
so...
he finds plenty, doesn't
so
he?
So tough, isn't
They're
it?
Two very good horses.
Yeah, like, if you're beating just Stad, that's a top-class performance. Like, he's got probably one of my favourite horses in training. He's just so tough, like, never finished out the first two.
He's genuinely, like, he will make an incredible stallion.
Oh, yeah.
Because
like
if
Galileo
he...
toughness.
Yeah, exactly.
Not by Galileo, but yeah.
But that is exactly that same thing, where I'm always imagining in a few years their progeny will take racing so well.
Is there anything in that? Like, is that just there must be something in it, but it doesn't sound. How can that be possible?
Well, I think if you're genetically, I mean, if your dad's a basketball player, you're more likely to be good at basketball. You know, that kind of thing.
My dad is a bit of a melt, and I'm pretty tough.
You've given this is called.
I don't mean it, Tone.
Do you know? You're feeding the trolls little tidbits. Lovely.
He won't be watching either, like horse racing. So.
No, fair enough. A couple more things to mention. Again, we're talking about pedigrees, but. No Name Ever has got an incredible record on the straight track. He won two races on fast ground today on the straight track.
Oh, yeah.
Blue Point had two runners today, and they both placed in group races.
One of them should have won.
One of them should have won. The other one ran 7 days ago at Hamilton and ran an absolute blinder.
Size for courses.
It does sound daft, but it also doesn't sound daft because each track suits a certain type of horse, and those characteristics, whether your stride length, whether you're a pure speedball or whether you're a stamina laden animal, these kind of things do pass down through the generations. And remember, No Name Ever and Blue Point both won big races at Ascot. Exactly.
It's good stuff, mate. And Memas never won anything at Ascot, and he's still waiting for his first winner as a sire.
At the festival. Yeah, he is. Right, anyway, look, we've got loads to get through for day two, but I know Crossbars were rattled at Kills, but I don't know, I feel confident about tomorrow for you.
Good, thank you. I hope so.
Tomorrow's going to be a good day, fellas.
Yeah, it feels like it, yeah.
Let's have it.
And if this was a sitcom, they'd flash cut to tomorrow night with us all looking despondent. But it's not. Anyway, we'll get into day two after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
There you go. Keith Melrose with the promo for The Edge. Check that out every single day. Who knew that Keith was looking through my office window? You're up early, you're studying the form. Oh, it's Keith at the window again, there he is.
Keith Melrose.
The Edge.
Very Scottish.
Genuinely though, it is nice for someone to do all that number crunching for you and not have to do it yourself.
You just got to get up early to get it sent, though. That's the only problem for us.
That's the joy, but you can do that and then I can lie in.
Well, that suits you, mate.
It does, yeah.
That's the job. Do the work for other people. That's what we're here for, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. And people do come on and go, oh, you tip that, and it's like, but we're doing. It's a free service. Mm. You watch it. You take what you want out of it, and if you don't like it, there's an off button.
We're trying our best.
Okay. Don't press it. Don't press the off button. Press the like button instead. Let's get involved in tomorrow. Just a quick shout out to Johnny Schofield, who's done 15,903 today, and T. Gerard, who says, I'm literally watching on the treadmill right now. What a great idea. Close to 15,000 steps now.
Good going.
Everyone else in the gym's annoyed that you've put this on mine.
No, he could be at home, though. Like, people have walking pads at home.
It's a good idea.
I'm looking at getting one potentially. I think it's
standing desk, walking pad.
Sound investment when it's like raining in the winter or whatever.
Job done. And Darren Collins says, I've been watching Ascot all day, I've done 7 steps to the fridge and back. So, right.
Someone has also asked me for a film TV recommendation on this chat.
Yeah.
Succession straight away.
Oh, yeah, never heard of that one.
Brilliant show.
Right, Queen Mary, day one. Day two, race one. With the juvenile fillies over 5 furlongs. Senorita Bonita, 9-2. Victorious, 9-2. Wild Blossom, 6-1. Alta Regina, 8s. Drazinda, 14s. More Champagne, 14s. Rueva, 14s. Celtic Dispute is 18-1. And we have 28 two-year-old fillies going to Royal Ascot. And is it just a case, Mr. Paul Keighley, of... sorting by how much the horses cost, because there's just an incredible amount of breeze up buys in here.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of breeze up, and a spectacularly stupid amount of money spent on some of them, isn't there? I mean, one of them will win, like, you know what I mean? But, you know, most of them are just destined for life as, you know, listed race sprinters, aren't they? Like, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how much is spent on these horses, but it's a fascinating race. There's loads of runners, but the first three in the betting are drawn 10, 5, 7. Only one horse lower installed 10 since like 2012 has managed to win this.
Okay.
And 10's been the lowest. After that, it's like 12, 14, up to the 20s and whatever. And they were showing a definite tendency to come across already today, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So what's the betting that they just decide to do that all day tomorrow on the straight track?
Well, even Great Barrier Reef, Wayne Lorden was keen to come over as he
did the right thing. He did it gradually rather than ducking him from behind. You do it gradually, you don't lose so much ground. That worries me. I mean, your Wild Blossom's got your Memas as well, by Memas, and also, though she won by 10 lengths at Carlisle, she did it in a minute and 5 seconds. Slower than a 62 rated handicapper on the card. I've got a thing against horses who get a high RPR and a low top speed figure. Don't like them. Like, you know what I mean? So I was against her, but also really liked is the one that's been shunned for her by James Doyle, and that's Alta Regina. On the upside, Doyle was required elsewhere when she made her debut at Lingfield, so how much he's actually knows about her. But I was sort of blown away by her then, because I thought she was still very green. But she really flew when asked. Jamie Spencer was pulling her up before the line and having a job to do so. Time was pretty decent. And she's got a draw in stall 24.
Yep.
So that was the one I liked the most. I mean, there's loads. I mean, the French thing, that's another one with a load of Drazinda, but it's, you know, Graffard doesn't have any two-year-old runners at Royal Ascot. He's already scored already this week, hasn't he? You know, with Matt Bastard. So and the American one that interested me was More Champagne, because it absolutely slaughtered the odds on favour of Wesley Ward's on its debut, and Wesley Ward's brought that one over here for this race as well. So they're interesting ones, but I mean, it's two-year-old races, we're guessing, aren't we?
We are to a certain extent, but at least, you know, More Champagne, for example, I mean, Golden Pal, again, he had an absolute storm in the Norfolk here, so you've got that. Do you know a weird, and Andrew Mount put me onto this, a weird stat about Sioux Nation.
Please.
Progeny.
Wow.
They have an incredible record in small fields, and it is twice as good in single figure fields as it is in bigger fields. But then
less. Twice as many horses have run against them.
Yes, but.
That's true.
But I mean, in terms of percentage strike rate and also actual versus expected and profit, the less horses in the race, the better all those numbers got. And I know what you mean, but it's just this really weird thing where they do really well in small fields. Okay. It's a really odd one.
It's just niche analysis,
niche analysis. Yeah.
This Daughter of Sioux Nation has 23 runners to beat, so that we're.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know you've said that, but you've got more odds of it. Yeah, that's fair enough. But all the numbers go up. It's just very odd.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe again, you're thinking about crazy. Maybe they're not that big. Maybe Sioux Nation just they're quite slightly small horses. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's just odd.
But
just
he won a Norfolk Stakes, so he can sire a Queen Mary winner.
Probably. Yeah. It's just a funny stat. It's just a really funny stat.
That is quite amusing. Everyone's tipping this Alta Regina.
Are you
seeing a lot of too many cooks spoiling the broth?
Yeah.
The one I liked has been bought by Ammo Racing last night. Looked at this a few days ago, Kentucky Rain.
Yep.
She was like nearly on treble figures. Massive eye catcher on her debut at Goodwood, behind a horse, Pashada, is much shorter price than her. I think they've kind of tightened up in the betting now since Kia's bought her. But one of the highest top speed figures in the race there, and she just didn't get an out at all until the final sort of half furlong, and then she made up relentless ground. I think she would have won quite comfortably if she actually got out. Bred for this game by Lucky Vega, who's a pretty good two-year-old sire at the moment. She's a half-sister as well to a listed sprint winner, so got the pedigree for this sort of event. And just one I thought could go well, but stall 9, Kiel Sphinx, that's bad. He probably is right. But I think she's interesting. But I've got to respect what Alta Regina did. I'll be of the ones at the top of the betting, she'd be for me. But I'll have a wild run on Kentucky Rain.
All right, Kentucky Rain then. Yeah, like I said, I think that form's interesting. I don't have a huge opinion of this race. I might.
It's hard to, isn't it?
It is hard to. I mean, I find that the two-year-old race is quite difficult this year. There seems like a slightly different profile. I feel like normally there's three or four who've really made an impact. It feels like this year there's like seven, eight, nine who've done quite a bit. Mm. And the Coventry felt, I mean, they were finishing a heap in the Coventry today. Yeah, there was true. No real clear standout.
The Windsor Castle's pretty easy to solve those. We'll find out later.
I'm looking forward to that.
What a teaser.
But I was just saying, there's a big prize horse here with a great draw, with form lines that tie into what you've just been talking about.
Ho ho.
With a pedigree to die for this race.
Please.
And that's Fast Track. Andrew Bowling, Rob Hornby, who was third to Bashada and Kentucky Rain at Goodwood as well, when running a bit of blind on her debut. She almost won that Nottingham race. She was ridden really prominently in that, and she got done by Senorita Benita. And I know Senorita Benita was much the best in that. And, you know, she went past half the field in the blink of an eye and got up on the line. But she's by Blue Point. Dan was second in the Princess Margaret as a two-year-old. She's drawn 26. She's got all, and she's 40-50-1. And I just think she is the overpriced one for me.
I made a fair case there. I think Shimmering Sun might run well for Harry Eustace. He's booked Dylan Brown McGonagall. I think that's quite interesting. McGonagall.
We're going to Harry Potter there. coming out this year, isn't
it? I think that might go well. It took a while to warm up at Salisbury, but if it was well on top at the end, it might be quite decent.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, we're guessing.
Yeah, and my aim for this is just sneaking through the play spot. That's my main aim for this. So that's
Did you get it up today?
I did get it up today. Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. Pleased to hear it.
That's the that was the decent result. The main decent result for the day. So it's pretty good. Reaching high, bombing out was the big game changer.
That was nice, wasn't it?
The payout. Let's have a look. Big Shug's had a little each way on Love a Giggle, and. Yeah, that's about it. Most people saying you'd be mental having a decent bet in big field 20-odd runner two-year-old races, and you're probably right.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not having a decent bet. I've had a small bet.
No, and you're also right. We are mental. So, yeah, fair enough. Queen's Vars on the way next there for the three-year-olds. Then a mile and 6-2 to go here. And Gallian is 9-4 favourite. Limestone 7-2. Port of Spain 7-1. Point of Law 8-1. Asakia 9s. Del Mar 12s with Warith. 16s and bigger the rest then here for the Queen's Vars. I thought I was being pretty clever when I wrote about Gallian a couple of weeks ago after he did a fantastic figure at Chester. And I thought, you know, this could be a bit of a dark horse for the Queen's Vars. And then Martin Dixon said he was his best bet of the week, and my mate Craig was a good punter and a very good judge, Craig Forsyth. He put him up to people, and suddenly I was looking at what I thought might be a 6-7-1 slightly
dark horse.
I went
to a little private preview last week, and the panel were all over it as well.
Oh, well, there you go.
Said that Ashley Murphy said it was his best chance of the week, bloody, bloody, blah.
And now he's 9-4.
Now he's 9-4, yeah. And of course, I think endorsement was anti post fab as well. And, and it goes in the Hampton Court, is it?
Yeah, that's a random one. That I thought it'd be King Edward, if not this.
I just try not to think. I my brain doesn't hold the names until they're actually on the screen. So just tell me the trip, and I'll say, oh yeah, that one. Yeah.
In the mile two race instead.
There you go, perfect. Yeah,
but this isn't sewn up. Galliana's not one. Limestone is a very smart stare, I think.
Okay, tell me about Limestone.
Those prices, I prefer Limestone. I think his win in the Yates Stakes is probably the best piece of stand form this season from a stare. I mean, admittedly, they've not had loads. Stand races yet, but just looks really tough. He's just coming forward all the time. The first two pulled 8 lengths clear of an Aidan O'Brien hotshot. New Zealand is admittedly not done loads yet in his 3-year-old campaign, but he was a good 2-year-old. And the form lines stack up pretty well, and he's trained by the man at the moment, Joseph.
Yeah.
The Yates Stakes was a race that Karma's won last season en route to this, so it's developing into an all right trial. So yeah, I think the market is. I don't really particularly fancy anything else at big prices. At those odds, I'd prefer Limestone, but do respect Gallian for sure. He's he's been well punted, and you can see why, because the Chester win was impressive.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, Limestone's. You're right. I mean, again, pedigree's spot on. And what I like is I like horses like him who've been, even they've been in and around all the good horses. You know, third to Benvenuto Cellini on debut, second to endorsement, and then he's won every other race. He's not kind of come out of nowhere. He's been in amongst them from the get-go.
And he tries as well. He's not really had like fast run races yet, so that gives me encouragement that he could take his form up a level.
Yeah.
Because he's getting outpaced in these slow run races, and then he's digging in and then staying on really strongly, so he just looks a perfect profile for a Queen's Vars.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and again, Joseph O'Brien.
Mustard.
I mean, he's just getting daft now, isn't it? Just getting down, but yeah, like I said, I mean, I do like what I liked about Gallian was that he was still green as grass, and it felt like Ushin Murphy was thinking, okay, we're involved here, yeah, we're going to have a chance, and he just powered clear.
Yeah, he's definitely got loads more to come, hasn't he? You know, I think he probably is the most likely winner. Mm. I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to be lumping on him at 9-4, because that's not me. I think Del Maro might run well at a price. I think he's guaranteed to stay, and he I don't think he was at his best in the Chester race behind Benvenuto Cellini, and he came back with a much better run next time at Goodwood after that.
Yeah.
And I think he'll stay. He might run well at a price, but not a big betting race for me.
No. The slight head scratcher for me is Port of Spain. Is he just that price? I mean, I guess there's stayers on the dam side. But there's nothing about him so far that I thought he wants a mile six on fast ground at a stiff track.
No, not really. I mean, you know, he didn't look like he wanted a mile and two in the London Gold Cup, did he? Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a strange one. It is very much a strange one.
Couldn't really fancy him. If you're backing him, you're backing him because of his connections. Like, that's it, really. He doesn't really have the profile you look for in this race, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, the dam has produced middle distance winners, and two over 1 mile 6, free wind is one of them, isn't it? Like, you know, so.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that
touché.
One.
Like,
yeah, fair enough.
So it's possible.
Queen's Vase, let's have a look. Limestone is as genuine as they come. Says Will United Rise. Magnitude at 80-1 each way for me, says Destiny Stands. Port of Spain for David Briggs. Galleon is the best bet of the week, says Mark Cantrell. And plenty of love for Limestone as well. Mark Cantrell says, Ross, how many lines did you do on the play spot today? How many lines did I do?
What was the stake and how much did you win, basically?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
No comment.
No comment.
I'm not allowed to, am I?
No,
I'm
not allowed to.
No, shouldn't really.
I didn't
do any lines before the show either.
I got four lines up. Okay. So that's, yeah, it's all right. Good, it's fine. All right, okay, that's the Queen's Vase then, where Galliano is 9-4, Limestone 7-2, and we're hoping for this one isn't a shock, because very strong on the top of the betting. 3:40 at Ascot tomorrow then is the Duke of Cambridge Stakes, a Group 2 for the fillies and mares over the mile, and Blue Bolt is 11-4. Friendly Soul 4-1, Catalina del Carpio is 8-1, Contiki 9-1, Cathedral 10s, Godspeed 10s, Snellen 12s, Falakea 16s, then it's bigger prices the rest, including Jancis, Carolina Jetstream, She's Perfect, Arasay, Dash of Azure, Noche Classica, and Francophone. And again, another reminder, if your brain changes as slowly as mine does sometimes, there we are on the round course, far over this, of course. Blue Bolt is 11-4 favourite. A four-year-old with, again, a cracking pedigree. And again, I don't think that's a bad price for a horse who's already proven herself to be a genuine Group 1 filly. I'm surprised she's not a bit shorter. I thought she'd be very popular, Keel.
I think it's very competitive. I think she's the right fav. I wouldn't argue with that. I do think it's more competitive than you think, maybe. But, you know, I mean, it's hard races is on the round course anyway. Things have to go right, even if you've got a decent draw. I was quite interested in two. One that I've tipped in the paper, and one that I left out on the grounds that if I tipped everything that I slightly fancied, I wouldn't actually have room for the words I needed to explain why. French trade Godspeed, I thought, was really interesting at a price. I mean, she only made a debut in February last year, and she just kept on improving. She was beaten four lengths in the French Guineas from a terrible draw, then won a Group 2, then finished 4-4 in Angel in the Rothschild. The foray run where she was only seventh, you can forget that because it was bottomless ground. But last time, she's a short neck away from giving £5 to Mandanaba on her return in a lifts race at Longchamp. The winner has gone on and finished second in a Grade 1 in Saratoga. Mm. Like, you know, so I think it's a horse on the up. And a bit like Blue Bolt was last year, she was on the up. This one is very much on the up. And I think she's got a chance. And I think Cathedral's got a chance as well.
Okay.
Mm. Cathedral was fourth, and she was beaten two and three quarter lengths in the Coronation Stakes on the track last year. She's, you know, beaten a length and three quarters by Fallen Age in the Matron, fourth in the Breeders' Cup over a mile and three when not really staying. Mm. And her second run this year was just miles better than the first one, which was just a little bit disappointing. So I think she might be building up for a big run. So yeah, I think it's I will back Cathedral as well. I have backed Godspeed. I think it's more open
All right.
than you think. Although I do totally agree that Blue Bolt should be fab.
So you're having a late in life religious conversion and going for Godspeed and Cathedral.
Absolutely, yeah.
Brilliant.
There you go.
Don't start me on religion, I'll get the sack.
I don't want to make you cross. No, anyway, let's not go down that route. The Duke of Cambridge, you were, when I was saying blue bolts are fair enough price, you were nodding your head.
I was kind of nodding at Kiehl's as well, because Cathedral was the one I was looking at if there was any to beat blue bolt. Let's talk about Cathedral first. Did very well to hang in there as long as she could in that race at Newmarket last time. That was fiercely run. Everything else prominent faded out back of the telly, and she still hung in there.
Yeah.
I do wonder whether 10 furlongs might be a trip now, but it's going to be a strong run mile. I thought she's interesting at the odds, but I do just really like Blue Bolt. She only made a debut last March, the same day that Duriz made his debut, interestingly enough. She's come a long way in a short space of time,
yeah.
Second to Fallen Angel in the Sun Chariot, a thriving Fallen Angel there.
They were miles clear.
That, the time was like 3 seconds faster than standard or something. Mm. Remember back in Lady of Spain that day, you're nowhere to be seen. But she's come back and then done quite well to win at Goodwood in a slowly run race. Conceded first run to She's Perfect and Kentucky. I just think everything is in her favour, to be honest. At 11-4, when I was looking at this early in the week, I thought she'd be more like 15-8. Mm. So there's juice there. I'd play her, but I'll also have a bit each way on Cathedral.
Yeah, I think she'd possibly, like you said, the price is holding up just through sheer mathematics, because there are a lot of horses in here with a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
Rather than, it's not, sometimes you get races of this nature where there's 10 of them and you think 5 could win and 5 have got no chance.
Mm.
And I don't think it's that sort of one. It's one of those ones where, I mean, God knows what to expect from Falakea. I mean, she's got all the ability in the world, but she's a lunatic.
I thought there might be some other headgear on, but no headgear at all.
Yeah, and the thing is with, again, I don't necessarily think the track is going to suit, but I don't know. It also wouldn't surprise me to see her sort of, if she did eventually, when it all clicks, I could see her running away with the race.
July Cup.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Well, I don't think she's a stiff mile. She's just so quick and keen.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like a sprinter, not bred to be a sprinter. But.
Yeah. I did fancy one until, but I've got the panics with the draw slightly.
Please.
Obviously, the round track, I've got all boxed up with nowhere to go in the back of my brain for Catalina del Carpio.
Oh, no. Catalina del Carpio, my nap this time last year for the Ribblesdale.
It was.
Didn't get home.
Well, this is what I mean, right? So, apart from last year, this race started developing into an incredible race for horses who didn't get home in the Oaks or the Irish Oaks or the races. And, you know, all those classic fillies who they want to win classics and they just didn't get home. Mm. And then a year later they go, you know what, maybe we've got to be carried away. And she just looked exactly like that. Running Lion was one of those. I'm trying to think. I'd have to just give me 2 minutes to navigate to the past winners page on the race card. Running Lion was one of those. What else? Saffron Beach, I think, ran over a mile and a half. There was plenty. I think Road Millennium might as well. There was a lot of horses with similar types. And she, like you said, she came there swinging in the Ribblesdale. And what I really liked, she also came there swinging at the Curragh on her first run over a mile. Didn't get over the soft ground.
Mm.
She's got a right old cruising speed. Billy Lee was unbelievable at this track last year. And again, Paddy Toomey's his strike rate is insane.
I love him, yeah. He's one of those elite, like your Graffards and the Tour Bryans. Like, he's getting, I mean, he's not done as much, but his strike rate is mental.
Yeah, he's the kind of person who I can imagine, like, sort of walking into like an antiques fair and then just finding something that just happened to be like, oh, this is interesting. Like, he's got that golden touch.
Midas touch. He's got the
Midas touch.
But also, he did say last year that he thought the fast ground sort of jarred her up. I'm sure he said something like that. But I mean, sometimes trainers make too much about the ground, don't they? Because I remember about an hour ago, Alan King saying he's really worried about the ground for Dacre Bay. Not one bit of it. Very fast time, handled it fine. And what about Ed Walker and Amcam went on that fast ground in the Curragh?
Yeah.
So sometimes.
And Ten Bob Tony in the first. I mean, they've been saying, they've been running exclusively in soft ground.
We shouldn't. Sometimes trainers kind of make too much of it.
Yeah. Oh. I think the thing is, and we are to blame, not us personally, but to a certain extent, but you've got interviews. Everyone afterwards wants, they want to know what the reason was.
Well, also. Yeah, but hang on. Also, Right? A lot of the time they're running on the ground when the description's just completely wrong in the first place. Yeah. So some of those runs, Alma come last year on good to soft ground, you know, the time form's got it down as good to firm.
Yeah, true.
Right, you know what I mean? So that's part of the reason. They're not actually running on the ground that people are saying it is.
That is true. And you're asking the trainer almost immediately after the race, where they haven't had a chance to go and find that out.
Yeah, and they just accept that the ground is what it is.
Yeah. Aidan Kelly says in capital letters, you're spot on Ross, Blue Bolt, Group 1 horse. Why isn't anyone talking about Friendly Soul, says Destiny Sounds?
That's a fair point. I mean, she's obviously very good. She's a Group 1 horse too, isn't she? Obviously put her foot in the hole at Haydock. It's a while since she's run over a mile.
Yeah.
That's the thing. She was in the... it was a mile and a quarter, wasn't it, at Haydock? And I dare say she might even be going further than that in the future. So
the last time she did run over a mile, she won the Valiant Stakes.
Won the Valiant Stakes. She beat Doom at Sandown, is that correct?
Ascot,
sorry, yeah. So she can, you know, she can certainly do it, but I just think she might be better over a bit further now.
Yeah, fair enough. So that's why
people are... essentially coming here first time out as well, isn't she, after the... What ridiculous thing happened?
Yeah. I think people were saying she was shaping well up to that point, but like we didn't learn anything still, did we?
No, it was too far to know.
Yeah, of course it was.
And again, I don't have the trends for horses who came here after putting their foot in a hole. But, but that said, although weirdly, there was a period where it was actually quite a good trend to go to a race and have sort of a void race halfway around or something. Yeah. You're not having a particularly tough race, but you're having a spin round.
Yeah.
It's a race course gallop, essentially.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there you go. Chances seems decent value, Burton Ernie. All right, just one more for those. Okay, that's the Duke of Cambridge. The big race of the day then is the Prince of Wales's Stakes. Lots of S's in there. Over at 10 furlongs, an absolute rip snorter of a Group 1. This is going to be an absolute blinder. Admittedly, we've got two no-hopers in the shape of Mississippi River and Devil's Advocate. And I'm sure some people might argue that there's three no-hopers. Some people might argue there's five no-hopers. I don't know. You tell me. But Ombudsman is 11-08 favourite here. Darry's 2-1. Al Macam 11-2. Mini Hawk 6-1. See the Fire 18s. Dancing Gemini is 50s. With those two outsiders. And Ombudsman and Darry's met last year at York. And Ombudsman, like I said, finished a mile clear of his French counterpart. And again, was it the fast ground on that occasion? Was it the fact that the race was one of the weirdest running Group 1s we've ever seen? I don't know, you tell me. But Derry's went on to win the Arc. Ombudsman can barely put a foot wrong. But they do have Al Macam to worry about, and there's clearly been a bit of money for Minnie Hawk, because I'm sure she was about 10-12-1 only 24 hours ago. So we've got four genuine Group 1 horses, which is what you want, Robbie, when it's a Group 1.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a belter. I just hope all eight stand their ground.
Is there a possibility?
It's a good each way, but it's a good each way race. I think they'll all run, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like Almacan, to me. I'm really warm into Almacan as well.
So you think you can get one of the top two out of the frame?
Well, no, there's eight runners.
Yeah, actually, it's not a really good race if you think you can.
Well, no,
I need to be less.
I think you can win. You've got an eight runner race.
I can't have Mini Hawk, I must admit.
Yeah, exactly. So I think only two horses can beat him.
I can have Cedar Fire running really well.
But you've got. I'm 100% in with you. A great each way bet in an eight run race is two of them can't win, definitely can't win. One of them almost certainly can't win. So you've already ruled three horses out.
I'd want myself to think that I could get at least one of those front.
Oh, I think he can definitely.
I'm not sure.
Sorry, Kiel's interesting. No. I think when I'm betting an absolutely filthy each way, the back of my mind is, what are the chances of getting my money back?
Well,
very high here.
Would it surprise anyone if Darry's flopped a bit?
No.
Because he flopped at York on his sole run in Britain.
Yeah. Let's start with the positives. You talk me up Almacam.
Yeah. He's won the Tatsells Gold Cup on his reappearance, and the ground was obviously rattling fast. Mm. It's 4.2 seconds faster than race post standard. Ed Walker's been speaking for the last 2 years about he needs soft ground. No, he doesn't. After that, frankly. Mm. Obviously, he's beat Ombudsman before in the Brigadier Gerard. I know that wasn't Ombudsman's day as such. But I really like that Tatsells Gold Cup. I don't see how Mini Hawk reversed the form of him from that. It was a seasonal reappearance. Bay City Rollers come out and frank the form. I just think it'll be bang there.
Yeah, no, I'm inclined to agree. I don't think the one draw is that bad in smallish fields early on in the week. And in fact, I look past 10 years, every runner that's gone off sort of 10 to 1 or shorter and been drawn in box one has finished first, second, or third in this. So I think actually, if you can get a nice toe in and then the gaps should appear because a lot of these are going to drop away, I think you'll be all right.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I agree. I think he's got a cracking chance. What's
I do think he's got a fine chance. I don't understand Minnie Hawk. Just don't think she's fast enough. She's a mile and a half filly, out and out. Aidan O'Brien was making excuses for her last time, saying that they went click quick, then they went slow, and she was in the wrong position. But the section will tell you that that's not true.
Yeah.
I think the last half mile was only about four lengths faster than the previous half mile. Like, you know, it was very evenly run race.
Yep.
Like, you know, and she just wasn't up to it. And I just don't think she's fast enough. She's in out. She's a proper staying mile and a half horse. Darius has at least shown that he's got the speed for a mile, but he has beaten, you know, essentially at this level, rubbish on his last two starts. He's done nothing that Ombudsman wouldn't have done against those horses. Which is why I always thought Ombudsman would be favourite. I think he'll win. I think he's a very, very, very good horse at a mile and a quarter on fast ground, and I expect Cedar Fire to run a big race.
Okay.
I do think she's very good, Cedar Fire, and I think she's still getting better. And one of these days, she's gonna win a Group One.
I like this. I like the fact that she's backed two wins up.
Yeah.
For the first time, it feels like in a while.
Yeah.
Because she can be a kind of horse.
Yeah, she's not the most straightforward, is she? But I do think she might run well.
I'd almost back her than Minnie Hawk, but the thing is, Aidan's done this plenty. He's won this three times the past 10 years: August Rodin, Love, and Highland Reel, and they were all horses that at various times you might argue might not be fast enough for a 10 furlong race. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's true. I remember this time last year you fancied Los Angeles, didn't you? Because you thought he's one more four horse, but he's tough and strong stayer.
Yeah, and it could. Again, it's a long way home, isn't it?
It is a long way home, but I don't really see how she beats Almacan.
Yeah.
I think the play, obviously, Ombudsman is the right favourite. I agree with the market move that's happened in recent days because Darius was favourite for a while.
Mm.
But I think maybe the play is actually Almacan without Ombudsman. Because I think he's got sound credentials to beat Darius.
Yeah.
See the Fire, I love her. I love her at York. I really fancied her in this race last year. I was slightly disappointed. I don't know, maybe she's better now. But
she ran well enough, didn't she?
Yeah, but
third.
Is this a better race this year?
Is it a better race? It probably is. It probably is slightly better, isn't it? I mean, you've got an Arc winner and you've got a progressive Almacan who's just come off the back of a career best. So it probably is slightly. What do we make of Darius then? Because
he's clearly very good, but I mean, this will be faster than the ground that he ran on at York last year. I know it was officially good to firm last year, but it wasn't really. And it's only his second time coming over here. Obviously, the first time he wasn't so good. I would say he's grown up a lot since then, and there's no doubt about that. And he's a very tough horse, he's a very good horse. But whether he's absolutely 100% top class against a horse of Ombudsman caliber at a mile and a quarter on fast ground, right? Softer ground, massive player. But on fast ground, it's in Ombudsman's favour. I thought from a long way out that Ombudsman was going to end up fav. He has, and I think he'll win.
Is there also an argument that, because again, you look at the Arc last year, you've got, you know, Sozi in third, proper Group 1 horse. Giovaletto, you fancy the weekend, proper, Sozi proper mile and a half horse. Giovaletto proper mile and a half horse. Mm. You know, Arrow Eagle was sixth as a stayer. I mean, it was a slog.
It was a slog. He stays very well, but I mean, he's shown, the Disverhan was only a mile and a furlong. It wasn't soft ground, though.
Mm. I mean, he was 1-5.
Yes, this is the problem. You're not beating anything. I don't like, I don't like massive RPRs against hugely inferior rivals.
Yeah,
they don't do it for me. Getting a proper race. He hasn't had a proper race yet.
I would rather have horses beaten in ding dong battles than bullying significantly inferior.
You can blame Johnny Pearson for that very high RPR there.
Mm. You will.
Absolutely, I think he's on holiday, but
we will.
He's back.
He's back on Friday, so make a list of those grievances. So, okay, I mean, I'm with you. I think Almakam's going to run a cracker. I think, again, I think the fact that Walker and Schumacher win that first day, I mean, pressure is instantly off. The rest of the week is just enjoyment.
You can just chill out now, Schumacher, can't he?
Yeah, it wasn't not too much, but I mean, we're going to boot him out.
Let's get the job done. But I do think he's a very good each way bet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on Almakam. I'm not quite sure what you fancy.
No, I think Almakam's going to win.
Yeah.
And I might play the forecast with Cedar Fire.
All right, okay. So you think there's bomb out possibilities for Mini Hawk and Darius, or just Mini Hawk is the one you're against?
Mini Hawk's the one I'm against. I just don't think she's quick enough.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I think the only reason she's shortened is because there's fewer runners than there were any post.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's just, I can't have it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, to be fair, there's probably also, bearing in mind that Aidan's had win the Coventry, win the King Charles III, was second in the...
There's
going to be multiples
Ryan Moore's
going on there.
Super
as well.
Popular.
Sure.
But
that's making a better price about Almakam.
Yep,
for us too, Ross. So.
Aidan Kelly says Almakam 3-1 without the favourite and Lay Derry's for a place. I like that. I like that, Aidan. And Kaylee Skate says he's done 48 steps today.
That's a disgrace. Get yourself out for a wonder, mate.
48? I'm trying to think, yeah.
Equates to 20-30 seconds walking.
Yeah,
it's about 100. It's about 100 steps a minute.
Must live in a bungalow as well.
Yeah.
I dare imagine
a downstairs car.
Yeah.
or maybe travels around on a little tricycle. I don't know. Maybe you never know.
Steps are important. Just go for a walk after this, mate. You'll find yourself.
Tom Leach says, "I'm not falling into the trap of betting impossible handicaps. I'm just chucking a lump on Ombudsman tomorrow." I don't think that's a bad angle. I don't think it's the Johnny Dineen angle. It's like I'm not interested in any of these. I fancy this horse for my life.
You're going to have it on.
I'm backing it.
Yeah.
So
I'm the other way. I fancy Ombudsman, but I'm going to back two horses in the Hunt Cup.
Yes, that is true. But you are made of different stuff for sure. Right, but if you are going to do that though. When I said at the top of the show, you can't, a good day if you're doing that is getting one in the frame, isn't it? Surely.
Yeah, it can be, yeah. Likes about the winner, though.
It's a more fun way to bet a big price, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah. True, yeah. Right, Hunt Cup then, here we go. Let's see what Keels has got up his sleeve. A mile to run for 30 runners on the straight track. And do we have a market on Hard Luck Stories? What's the spread on those? But Scoville is quite warm in the betting, actually. I thought he'd be a bit chilly. But no, he's 9-1.
Scoville scale.
There you go. 10-1 is Linwood and Archivist and Indolo. 11-1 Labotte with Classic. 12-1 Fifth Column and Erzincan. And we're going to have to mention quite a few of these because there's loads in here with chances. I do think Shout's got a big shout, genuinely. Jagged Edge bolted up last time out. Mr. Winston's 2 from 3 in big races this year. Rogue Diplomat, which is done on the line in the Lincoln, of course. Check and Challenge has been backed. Really? Again? ABT's Guard loves it round here. Holloway Boy loves it round here. Thunder Run's got good form, stays further. Cerulean Bay comes into it off the back of a good run at York. Excellent Believes Unexposed. Urban Lion's got a big run round this track on his dance card as well. Oh, and even you start scrolling down, Skakuza, we've beaten on the line of Britannia, it's 50-1. Oh, this is just the type of race where you go, this is too hard, I'm not going to bend it. Paul Keeley, what have you backed?
I'm going to have a couple here. Jamie Spencer, renowned for his straight track prowess.
Yep.
Weaving in between horses and coming through, putting them in line. He's going to make a run in on Linwood.
Okay.
And I think he might win. I really like this horse. He finished last season, he absolutely bolted up at Newmarket. And then he won that Spring Cup at Newbury. And I thought he won it easily. And how well has that worked out? Second Classic, won a big race at Newbury the next time. Hand of God in 7th, won next time. Boyfriend in 8th, won next time. Fifth Column, who's joint favourite, finished 2nd in the Suffolk Stakes at Newmarket. Shouts won a blinder next time. Loads of them, even right down the bottom, have run really good races next time out. Fantastic piece of form. Only went up £3. After that Newbury race, Richard Hannon was interviewed, and he said, I called the owner's racing manager before the race and wondered about an entry in the Prix d'Ispahan, which was won by Darius.
He called them before the race?
Yes, before that race, he said, I'm worried about that because it's in 3 weeks' time. What do you think about an entry in that? He said, I think it's a very good horse.
All right.
He looked like a very good horse to me at Newbury, and I know it's hard, but Wild Tiger, Shui Fang, another one, Real World.
My Cloud.
My Cloud was held up a little bit, wasn't it? But those three, they were all, either pressed the lead or Shui Fang made all. So it can be done.
And Sylvester did it in the Britannia one year as well.
Yeah, and Spencer, while being renowned for the hold-up, he's brilliant in front. Mm. So I think he's got a right chance. Obviously, he's getting towards the end of his career, Spencer. He doesn't ride that much nowadays. Mm. In fact, since the British Championship started, he's only had 36 rides, going into this week. But at a strike rate of 25%, so he's picking and choosing to do it well. Yeah. So I really do like him, and I back Rogue Diplomat as well, because he shapes like a horse. One of these days when it drops right, he's going to win one of these. Didn't quite drop right for him behind Linwood. He was fifth, but he ran really well. Didn't get the run of the race. Obviously beating a nose in the Lincoln as well. And I just paid zero attention to finishing seventh of eighth in a listed race at Longchamp, because he doesn't want a small field. Slow gallop race in France, does he?
No.
And he was the lowest rated horse in the race, and I think two of the ones ahead of him have won Group 3 since, so it was a fair race anyway. So I think he'll run well. You can make cases for loads and loads of others, obviously, but they've both got a double figure draw, which I think may well prove necessary.
All right, okay. Linwood it is then, who I just looked, he's actually unbeaten on a straight mile. So again, he's just that proper special. And Richard Hannon's having an unbelievable season as well, isn't he? So, yeah, you're right. I'd kind of discounted him, but I just had another glance at his profile and thought, crikey, yeah, that is a progressive profile, isn't it, for a four-year-old. And the other one, like you said, Rogue Diplomat. I mean, he had no chance from that Newbury position, did he? So.
No. But he ran really well, and he has got one of these races in him when things drop right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll ask you tomorrow whether things drop right or not, and see how many.
I backed the second, third, fourth, and fifth once. You had four bets in the race. Never had a winner
in the Hunt Cup.
Yeah,
gutting.
Well, again, and if we'll see how it goes tomorrow, but you might be looking back on that result with rose-tinted glasses. You never know.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's loads in here, though. I mean, Scoville looked a monster, but it was only about 12 months ago that he was looking a monster, and he's here on handicap debut, and he's. Yeah. He's well down the way. His Archivist, I thought, was really, really interesting. Yeah. Indelo's been strong for ages. Labotte, I mean, Graham Rodway will be all over this.
What happened to Scoville last time? It's unusual to get a horse being favourite when it's finished last, weakening quickly.
It's the William Haggis factor,
isn't it? You know what I mean? It was
Windock,
loads of money for it.
Tong Tai, handicap debut, 29th in the weights, William Haggis.
Mm. Yeah, he looked like a group horse when he won at Newmarket, but gone badly backwards, so you can't really entertain him at that price. But at the same time, you have to respect it. Because someone knows something.
And he's run twice over a mile on good firm ground, and he's won by 16 and a half lengths.
Yeah, that Newmarket run was mental, to be fair. You thought he could be maybe a Group 1 horse even.
But that's what you were saying about the big RPRs for beating 60 rated horses, basically.
But the time was very good.
It was very good.
Good horses can run bad times, but bad horses can't run good times, famously. If you're asking me for my selection,
are you going to put one?
No, I've had two plays, right. Kind of in one up the centre, one up the centre, so you've got options, one up the high. Jagged Edge, you like this horse? Blue Point, the sire.
He looked good, didn't he?
Yeah, really good. I like Stephen Fawn as a trainer. He almost won the Victoria Cup last season. Also Glen Eagle Bay, I think he's a good trainer. Very lightly raced. He was a second string that day, and he won ease down, having to loop round runners. The 7th and 10th have won since. Stephen Fawn came out afterwards and said he thinks he's a stakes horse in the making. Probably going to need to be to win off a mark of 102, but I think he's got a fascinating profile. Mm. And the other one is Erzin Jahn with Ryan Moore up in the high numbers. Just finally got his day in the sun in the Suffolk Stakes. He's shaped really well three times last season. Won his side in the Cambridgeshire by miles. He was best of the hold-up horses in the John Smith's Cup, and he had... met quite a lot of trouble in running at another race at York. I think all his form is over sort of 9 or 10 furlongs, but I think a strongly run mile will be absolutely ideal, and it's very interesting with Moore up. They're the two for me.
All right. Where is he? There he is, Erzin Jahn, 12 to 1. Sorry, what was it? Oh, Jagged Edge. Yeah, he's about a 14 to 1 shot as well.
Yep.
Yeah, he's the only slightly worried about him is He's rattling fast ground. He's not quite, but again, he's by blue point, so he should be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Should be fine. But he looked.
Wednesday.
It was. I mean, that race last time. He was coming there travelling, but you never quite know in those races over in Ireland. Again, you think, are you going to find anything?
Yeah.
He's just shot
so easily, and I like the fact that he was sent off a bigger price and won for the same owners that were sent off favourites. So it sort of implies it wasn't expected, and he's going to come forward for it.
Yeah. I like his style, Stephen Thorne. Definitely, he's. They seem to be. They want horses in. That are sound, that will run big races and these big handicaps repeatedly, and he's he's paying for it. He's paying off for him. Yeah, I thought again. I come around. I'd almost forgotten how much I liked Archivist last year. He looked a bit of a monster. I fancied him for the Britannia. He didn't run. He then bolted up next time. I don't think he got in. He definitely didn't run. Bolted at York.
They could, of course, have pulled him out to let Blue Brother run as first reserve, and he was back from 40s to single figures last year, wasn't he?
They could have, yeah. But he's finished two lengths behind Dividend, who, you know, ran a stormer from Bad George Day and Wolferton, and he's essentially a group horse. His record over a mile, he's won his last three races very, very easily, all over a mile, and his runs over 9 and 10 have just muddied the waters, I think. I think he's a proper, strong pace, big field miler, and I think this is going to absolutely suit him down to the ground. But I've just had Shout on the list for so long. He's an Ascot horse. He's drawn 26. I thought he hit the front and then hung over to that far side and got swamped by the ones down the centre last time out at York. But I've kind of got, I don't know, I've gone off him a bit, Keels. But maybe, I don't know. It's just such a tough race.
You can fancy loads in it, can't you?
Yeah. Should we move on?
Yep.
All right. last couple then. Kensington Palace Stakes, Phillies handicap over the mile. More straight track action, but don't worry, just 25 of them in this race. We've got a very short price favourite for a big field race here. And guess who trains her? That's right, William Haggis has got another one. Alibi is 7-2, Statera 13-2, Radiant Beauty 7s, 9-1 Miss Nightfall, Zagata is 11, Song and Dance 11s, and 12-1, and bigger the rest. Alibi, who came from God knows where off a slow pace to finish third last time out, has clearly been kept back for this race, is the favourite. But the shorties in the handicaps today bombed out. Will it continue tomorrow, Keels? And if so, what takes advantage?
I thought she was one of the two that stood out, and unfortunately the second one was the second fav. I think, but Statera is for me. I mean, you can, you know, you had to be, Alabeo had to take you right away. She finished off that slow pace in that handicap last time. But Statera, is absolutely tailor-made for a straight track mile at Ascot. The way she powered home when she won the Fillies and Mares Championship at Newcastle earlier in the season, over 7 furlongs, she was really, really commanding then and really, really, really strong at the finish. She stepped back up to a mile in a Group 2 next time at Akoa, and she was 22-1. I don't think I'm out of line in saying that she'd have won if she'd have got a clear run. And I think this straight track's really, really going to suit her. Andrew Bald has put her in the Falmouth Stakes. I think she's definitely a group horse, and I think she's going to love the way this is run, and I really fancy her.
All right, OK. So that's the main pick.
Irrespective of 9-12, of course.
Yeah, but again, I think the bottom half of this race is pretty bang average comparison.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, too. That was one of the things that I was looking at. I thought to myself, you know, normally you can find something that's really sexy a little bit lower down, but I wasn't seeing it. So I'm going with the class angle, and I think she's going to take a fair bit of the. Yeah.
I mean, there are horses in here that I would consider not backing at Wolverhampton. Do you know what I mean? genuinely, there are a few in here that you think,
Yeah, I had the exact same feeling as you two. That's why I was. I mean, Statera is. Yeah, she is also my main pick. I liked her when I was doing the guide last week. Echo everything Kills has said. Big improver. Surely got more to offer. Unlucky in a Group 2 at the Curragh last time. But the other class horse I like is San Gazelle at a big price.
Mm-hmm.
She is Gosden's only runner in the race. He's normally well represented in these fillies races. First time blinkers on, dropping back in trip. Not really been getting home over 10 furlongs. She does have form that means that she can definitely win this off Mark 100. She was head of Barnavara at the Curragh in a Group 3 last season. Travelled all over her as well. But she was collared, Barnavara faded, Red Letter collared her. Red Letter's a good filly trained by Joe Lyons for Jobmont. Just a drop in trip, just interesting for me. But it's another one of those. Is a low draw going to be a worry? With the blinkers on, I could see her going well because she's classy. We know she's Group 3 quality on her best form.
Yeah.
So if you don't like the sort of unexposed ones, then play the class angles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even then, but I mean, yeah. Even then, she's only 4 years old, son, because this is a handicap debut.
Yeah, exactly.
She's exposed, but not in the grand scheme of things.
She's ahead of a pre-Lopra winner only 6 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without also travelling all over her, giving the impression that a stiff mile is worth a go.
Yeah.
So I think she's got a chance.
Yep, fair enough. And again, by Frankel out of a Kingman, damn, she should be pretty happy in this.
Definitely.
In fact, her damn was sent off favourite for the Sandringham, a man of encouraging seventh many a moon ago.
Well, the French horse might go well, Gaga Gale.
Yeah, yeah.
Big improver in France. I know it was very soft ground last time, but the last two times she won were actually good ground. It was decent ground. And it's by the Great Gatsby, who absolutely bounced off fast ground, didn't he? So,
yeah.
Just a big improver.
Okay.
And it's hard to quantify the form, but it's 33-1. They haven't brought her over for the day out.
Fair enough. Do you like Lady Gaga? You a Gaga fan?
Music, me.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, last race today, that is the new Windsor Castle here. 6 furlongs rather than 5, of course, with various conditions around the pedigrees, which we haven't got time to get into, but they're right there on your race card. Sergei Diaghilev is 5-2 favourite. Controller, 4-1. Rulers Control, 10. Sales Shark, 10s. 11-1 and bigger the rest. And again, a bit of a nightmare, albeit I did have Sales Shark marked off immediately as he won at Hamilton. And I did the speed figure and I thought, crikey, this is a nice horse. Number was really good. Love a horse at Hamilton coming to Ascot as well. You know, you've got to have the speed to rattling downhill and then get up that stiff finish well. I think Sale Shark's going to win a bit of a blinder in this. But it's a two-year-old race, Robbie. So what we said earlier does apply. Anything stand out?
Of course it does.
In the last?
Well, Controller comes out well clear on RPRs. Almost won a Group 3 on her debut. She's obviously got a lot of ability. Sort of horse that would be running in the Albany if Ammo didn't have so many other horses. Mm. But I wanted a bit more juice in a race of this nature. The one I backed was One Number, who is on the slide a bit. For Joseph O'Brien, really eye-catching debut, I thought, behind Celer Honor, who also runs in this, beating 2 lengths at the Curragh. Ran the final 3 furlongs faster than the winner. Looked very green. Good to yield in surface, but got a proper US pedigree, so I could see this horse really up in his game. For the faster ground, trained by Joseph, central draw in stall 10. Yep. Dylan Brown at Monagle's got options. I think there's a big engine there, but he's been backed a bit. But yeah, I thought he was one that could go well.
All right, fair enough. Anything in the last Keely, Mr. Keely, Mr. Keely?
Yeah, I've had 2 complete guesses like everybody else. one of them, Dancer Jig. I thought she should have won the Bocklesby, would have done with a clear run. Mm. She then finished 2nd in a 3-runner race, pulling like a train, which all the family do because she's out of Strictly Dancing and therefore half sister of Dancing Rain, Dancing a Storm and all those. And she was just too keen. She wants cover. But the winner was A Day of Scarlet, who's finished 2nd in the Coventry. Today, she guarantee you she wants another furlong and she wants a good pace to stay in and some cover.
Yeah.
She's run so close to Coventry 2nd, 20-1 was big enough. And even more left field, Victory Gold ran really well first time out, was 2nd and 9th in Vegas, and then took a big backward step. But I think he was a bit of a, he's a bit fractious, and Sabian Tours reached for a hood. He's brilliant with a hood. I think he's 20, something like 27 out of 92 overall, and 7 from 12 when he does it on juveniles. Like, you know, not in this sort of company, to be fair. You know what I mean? But he's just really good when he puts a first-timer hood on. And he doesn't, you know, he's quite sparing with his runners at Royal Ascot, and he does quite well, doesn't he?
So, he does very well, yeah.
So I would, they'd be 2 I'm taking a chance on. But obviously, they all could be open to any amount of improvement, and Controller does actually set the standard by quite some margin.
Have you done the Dancer Jig, Dance in the Storm, pedigree related double?
No, well, I don't know where she's going to run.
She's declared for the Buckingham.
She's not in the Buckingham Palace.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But she's still in the 5 days for the Wokingham, and she's number 31.
Ah, okay.
So
I think she'll run in the Buckingham Palace.
I think she will, but she's got stall 2 in the Buckingham Palace.
Oh, yeah, fair
enough. So if she squeezes into the, if it looks like she might get into the Wokingham.
Yeah.
I could see it. I want her to run in the Wokingham. I don't think she'd get home over 7 furlongs.
Yeah, fair enough.
In a fast run race, but there you go.
All right, okay. Let's get the, again, naps and a big price each way. for day two, shall we? Best bet, Giles.
Yeah, Statira by some margin, I think. And Dancer Jig in the last.
All right, okay. Statira, Dancer Jig. Mr. Robbie Wilders.
Okay. Jagged Edge in the Hunt Cup. He's come in, I think, price was Tipton as well. Jagged Edge in the Hunt Cup.
Is that the nap or the...
Yeah. That's the bigger price.
That's
one.
The bigger one, yeah.
And then the shorter one, One Number in the Windsor Castle we just spoke about.
Okay, that's good, because I thought you were going to go for Al Macum.
I wanted to give you that one.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Because I know you're sniffing around it, so...
Yeah, I am, yeah, okay, Al Macum, then the nap in the big race of the day, and Fast Track to run a big race at big odds in the opener. All right, lovely stuff. Thanks to everyone on the chat. Best of luck with your bets tomorrow. Destiny sounds the easiest one of the day. Controller to win in the last. So, enjoy day two. We'll be back for more of the same tomorrow night as well. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and get involved. It's going to be a good day too at Royal Ascot, but there's still plenty more to come. See you then.